Let's get it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the bullpen. In the bullpen today, he's back. We have Juan Villamil, commentator, Young Voices. And also, he is an ISI journalism fellow serving as an editorial assistant at the Spectator World. And we do not fault him for it. All right, Juan, good to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, we're going to chop it up about this new plan by Miller and others inside of the Trump camp who would like to bring awareness and policy in order to stop racism against white people, white males in particular. I don't want to assume what you know or believe about that topic. I will allow you to opine and then respond.
Yes. So when it's framed in that way, as if it's the racism against white, against the racism against everyone else, it's somewhat counterproductive. I think that what's happening is that as an American citizen myself, what makes America great, it's not diversity. What makes America diverse is that it's great. But we've reversed this equation to such a degree that now we're using diversity quotas and we're harming meritocracy, we're harming competition, we're harming the American way in the name of diversity. So if what they're doing is going to decrease this trend from happening, it's a good idea.
Okay. So you're saying that the injection of race somehow degrades the argument, basically. And this should be a conversation about America being great, not America being diverse. Did I summarize that accurately?
That's part of it. What we've been seeing in the last years, especially in the lawsuit being brought by America First Legal, is that companies like CBS and Paramount Global are using diversity quotas, sometimes very big ones, like 50% of the staff writers have to be BIPOC, 50% of the reality TV show cast has to be BIPOC. And this has been used in a way that harms some individuals that have been in the companies for a long time. And when they ask for a job, they're told, no, you're not going to get the job because you're not Black, you're not Latinx, you're not gay. And that's just unfair.
All right. Now, let's go to the simple, it used to be a simple doctrine by Republicans. And I would imagine you consider yourself to be conservative. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. What happened to the ability of private companies to set these particular protocols in order to establish the culture of their own company? There was a time Republicans said that companies are able to set these protocols because one, a company is a person and a company has a particular right to political ideology as well as diversity recommendations and mandates inside of their establishment. Now you're saying that these companies, these private agencies should no longer have these particular private rights in order to enforce the culture of how they would like their company to present.
Do you like the Civil Rights Act of 1964?
I like most parts of it.
Well, the Civil Rights Act of 1964 is exactly what's being used by conservatives in this case, in which
is being utilized improperly, in my opinion. But yes, that's correct.
How is it being used improperly?
Well, I'm going to let you make your point and I will make my rebuttal to it. I do like the Civil Rights Act in essence. I think the wording of it is somewhat being manipulated. And unfortunately, those that framed the act in 1964 were unaware that one day white men would claim that they were being discriminated against because of the inclusion dynamic of private companies. And so I get your point of the point you are attempting to make. But the reality is it was not created in order to protect white males. It was created to protect the historically marginalized in the communities across this nation. But go ahead and give me your answer. I will.
So you would rather prefer a race-specific law protecting only Black people or only Latinos? Because
it's not a race-specific law.
That just goes contrary to the—
But sir, it's not a race-specific law.
No, exactly. It's not a race-specific law.
That is correct.
So, exactly. So why do you have a problem with it?
I have a problem with it. Okay, I will give you the answer to that. I'm glad you posed the question. I have a problem with it because the original design, the architects of the actual law wanted to find ways to remedy the extreme bias, prejudice, and the horrific nature of racism permeating in our professional and governmental cultures. And that is what they had in mind. That is the dicta of the doctrine. That is the genesis of the legislation. That is the interpretation historically of the US Supreme Court. That is the interpretation historically of the Court of Appeals. So that's the reason why I have an issue with it being utilized incorrectly, adverse to those who actually framed the wording for the act.
Like they're alleging, like America First Legal is alleging in the case of Brian Benneker. Okay. If you've been working for a company, right, for 5 years, you're a staff writer and you want to get a job, and then they tell you, no, we don't want you. We don't have space for you right now. We don't want another staff writer. And then months later, a black person applies with less qualifications in this case, and they accept.
What is less qualifications?
Then when Brian goes, why did this happen? The person running the show told him, oh, we didn't give you the job because you don't hit the marks. You're not black, you're not gay, you're not Latino.
Okay.
That's unfair. Yeah. That's so just
that's,
wrong.
That's considered to be, that's a microcosm. The macrocosm is the policy dynamic. When we talk about the macrocosm, the overall policy of what we're trying to effect, okay, in the market, do you agree or disagree that racism is a real thing and it happens in the United States of America?
Yeah, of course, racism is a real thing. But the answer to racism shouldn't be more racism. We're not talking about the original definition of discrimination, which is differentiating from one or two. Mm-hmm. We're talking about racial prejudice, racial reasoning in hiring. I want to get rid of that. That's just wrong. You shouldn't be denied a job just because you're white or because you're black or because you're whatever. And that's what's happening.
Let's go through the fundamental. You're making the argument that's not even part of the conversation in the suit. If you look at the suit, the argument that you're making isn't part of the argument to the court. The argument to the court is basically an argument of qualification. That's the argument to the court. The argument that diversity protocols make is that when we decide, I say we as a private company, when we decide protocols for employment, and you say things like better qualified, most qualified, et cetera, better qualified or most qualified can be somewhat subjective, and there's no objective standard except that of the company matrix. So the company may say our subjective standard is we appreciate diverse voices, which means if we hire individuals that do not supply those diverse voices or diverse opinions, that is then antithetical to the model of qualification for this particular job. Well, that means that their hiring practices are aligned to a diversified model. They should have the private right to do so without discriminating against individuals just because of race. And I get that. Just because you are white, that should not simply eliminate you from the job. But that also, just because you are white, should not mandate a company to say we must hire this person because they are white.
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Ritchie,
Come on, brother, you agree with that.
It's funny that you've suddenly become the defender of private rights
Sir, I am the defender of private commercial rights. I'm a business owner. I own commercial properties. I own companies. I own radio stations. I'm a defender of private equity business rights. I'm a defender of home owner rights. 90% of individuals will have that as their largest investment. Yeah. I think you should do what you need to do with that.
In short, you like civil rights law only when it helps black people.
I like civil rights law in the context in which it was framed to provide a fair approach and to penalize individuals who enact a racist or biased policy. Even when they enact racist policies, there are ways racists get away with racist policies all the time. They simply do not say, I'm not hiring you because you're black. You can see it in the numbers. You can clearly tell in the actual product of their workforce. But as long as they do not actively say, we are discriminating against you because of some immutable quality, they typically can get away with it. So we're not even arguing the race aspect in the trial or in the proceeding currently.
Look, number one, my name is Juan. Like, I'm a Latinx, as they say nowadays. And if I apply to a job, right, and there's a white person applying to that job, and they tell us, hey, we're going to accept you, Juan, because we're accepting 50% BIPOC, although last time I checked, the country's around 60% white. So even that's too extreme if you want to make it solely about
it depends on the
equality.
Company, dear brother.
That's just
it depends on
that's
the
unfair.
Company.
That's
it depends, sir.
No,
it depends
if you
on
apply
the company
the Civil
culture
Rights Act, like it's applied with black people and Latinos,
about.
Then it should be applied the same way with white people.
Let me read a few stats to you, man. I find this quite interesting. So let me read a few stats to you. And you tell me how to remedy these, okay? So New York City, 88% of police stops in 2018 involved black and Latinx people, okay? This is from dosomething.org. This was a Pew Research of racial discrimination. All right, so you have 80%, 88% involved black people or Latinx people, while only 10% involved white people. Of those stops, 70% of the black folk and Latinx folk were completely innocent of anything. And we're talking about not even having an open container in the vehicle. They were completely innocent of anything. Another dynamic, 2015 to 2016, we're talking about students. We're talking about young children inside of school systems. Black students only represent 15% of the total student enrollment in the United States. But they make up 35% of the students who are suspended once, 44% of students suspended more than once, 36% of students who have been expelled basically forever. The US Department of Education concluded that this disparity is not explained by more frequent or more serious misbehavior, but by the student's color. When they looked at the data, they realized these students have committed the same exact infraction as a white student. The white student got no penalty, black student got the severe penalty, and that is a breakdown in the racial dynamic of education. Those dynamics that are very real, very much so in front of us, and very much so provable by the data. They have to be remedied somehow. How would you propose to remedy them?
Well, in regard to the first case you mentioned, I think it's important to mention that black people and Latinos, for that matter, commit more crime than white people. That's just a fact.
Wait a minute, stop. I need you to stop, sir. Just go ahead and source one source for me.
I don't have the FBI.
You have none. Let me. I got a few.
In front of me, but
I got a few, dear brother. Well, give me a second.
And
I can't
anyone
prepare.
Who's watching this
Hold
knows
on for
that's
a second,
true.
Dear brother. I'm going to give you a lesson in truth. I will encourage you to go and look it up when you get an opportunity. Number one, Pew Research. Pew Research.
I trust
shows,
the FBI.
You say what?
I trust the FBI.
Let's go to FBI.gov.
Okay.
FBI.gov. White on white crime. White on white crime.
What does that have to do with anything?
Hold on, wait a minute.
What does
dear
that have
brother?
To
hold
do
with
it? You're
hold
saying
on,
they arrest
are
black people.
Are you
Latinos
afraid?
Because they commit
are
more
you afraid?
Crime.
Wait a minute. Are you afraid of these facts you're about to get?
Okay, tell me
you
the
said
facts.
You trust FBI.gov. I'm about to read you FBI.gov. You ready?
Okay, read me the
okay.
facts.
Okay, 83 to 87% of crimes that are committed in white America, white on white crimes, around 91% are black on black crimes, as people like to pretend as if those numbers are statistically massively different between the two. They have similar congruence, just like Asian on Asian crime, Hispanic on Hispanic crime. Let me go to the second dynamic, because you said they commit more crime. Numerically, sir, white males between the age of 18 to 25 commit the most violent crimes numerically in the United States of America. Pew Research, you can find
is there a majority
this, sir,
of the population.
The last, sir, wait a minute. You said that
no,
black
I'm
people
talking, I'm
and brown
in proportion,
people commit
in proportion
most
to their
of the crimes, sir. They do not commit most of the crimes. And you will find also in the data that 89% of the crimes committed by
most,
black.
I didn't say most.
Hold on,
I said
brother.
More in proportion.
They don't. No, you didn't say more in proportion. You said they commit
well,
the most crimes.
Of course, white people are going to commit
now,
more crime because they're around 60% of the population.
Now, sir, where does crime come from?
Crime? Well, there's a series of things that you can attribute
Name
crime
a few.
To. For sure, there's poverty, there's
there you
culture,
go.
There's
89% of crimes committed inside of the United States of America by black and brown folk have one thing in common. They exist below or at the poverty line.
Wow.
The biggest contributing factor to criminality in the United States is in fact policy. Policy is not a position of personal failure. It is a position of policy failure. And so
exactly.
A policy dynamic contributes to what you call criminality, crimes of survival, living on a property that doesn't belong to you, stealing items just so you can eat food, et cetera, et cetera. These are policy dynamics. So when you say throwaway statements that you adapted from a tired-ass Sean Hannity talking point to say, well, black people and brown people commit the most crimes. Look at the nuance of the data, sir.
If Sean Hannity is the FBI, then sure, I trust Hannity. But
okay, trust what I just gave you, correct?
No, I actually agree 100% with you. Poverty should be addressed. But then the question is, why are we talking about race, and not about poverty?
Because race is not the issue.
If we address poverty, the black population would be the one that most helped.
There you go. That's the issue. I think we're looking at the same problem from different perspectives. It's like we're climbing a mountain. You're on the east side, I'm on the west side, okay? So think about it in this context, because I'm getting the wrap up a signal from my producers. You're climbing a mountain, you're on the east side, I'm on the other side. We see a different point of view, all right? Because we're on the climb. Yeah. Here's what's happening. We agree that poverty is a big contributing factor to these social ills. Race is not the dynamic. Race is just a contributing factor to how black people are treated. When Dr. King talked about race, he talked about race in the context of not skin color, but how people are treated because of the skin color. It adds to the social dynamic of discrimination. So discrimination equates to poverty. Why? Because discrimination equates to lack of access and opportunity and lower economic realities. So we can talk about skin color. It's not skin color. It's the result of how people treat you because of the skin color. That's the contributing factor in the social element we call society. I give you the last word, brother.
To move forward as a country, we need to reduce this social tension. And when you say that you're in one side of the mountain, I'm in the other, the difference is that I look at what's happening in this country and I say, how can we reduce this tension? How can we move forward? Right. And we do this by talking about how to reduce poverty and not obsessing over race.
Black poverty.
We do nothing. We just make white people angry. And if we talk about white poverty, we make black people angry.
I mean, come on, man. We don't want to make white people angry. I mean, come on.
We don't want to make anyone angry, but that's what's happening.
No. So you said you don't want to make white people angry. You're scared of white people. I understand. I appreciate you.
I'm not scared of any particular group. You're
scared of white people. You are scared of
white people. I'm scared of the racial tensions continue to increase.
I understand.
Because people like you continue to talk about Karens and race.
Yeah, because it's real. Poverty. These are real dynamics that happen in the United States of America. I'm a truth teller.
They're real.
But I appreciate you being on the show, sir. Juan, thank you so much. We're going to pray for you to make sure you don't get attacked by white people. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.